Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. It's great to see so many of us here gathered together again. We're going to be starting a new series of sermons this week where we're going to be looking at the letter to Galatians, and Tim Furlong is going to be speaking to us from Galatians 1 a little bit later on in the service, so we look forward to that. One of the verses, or a couple of verses right at the start of the book of Galatians, are a prayer. And let me just read it as a prayer for us at the start. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, at the start of our service, we're going to sing a song that helps us to focus on the Lord Jesus. It's May the Mind of Christ My Saviour. Let's stand and sing together.
Of Galatians 1, it will be verses 1 to 10, page 1168. Paul, excuse me, good start. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Shall I pray as we start? Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your mercy you have called us to yourself. And we thank you that you have given us the apostles and your word to guide us and to teach us. Would you help us this morning to listen to what you have to say, to believe it and to trust it. In Jesus' name, amen. The original and best. I don't know if you've seen that phrase around on different products It's a phrase that companies use to try and get us to stick with them, don't they? Stick with that product that you know and trust. Or maybe you're more of a new and improved kind of person. Things have moved forward, and so should the things that you buy. And you're looking for that next new thing. What about Christianity? What about our faith? Which version should we follow? What should we do when someone brings along to us something that they claim is new and improved? Well, as we've said, for the next couple of months, we're going to be spending our Sundays in the book of Galatians. And it addresses exactly this issue. Should the Christians stick with what they were originally taught? Or should they listen to those that have come later and who have said that they need to be doing things differently? It's an issue that is still around today in some obvious ways, as churches change their teaching on things that have been pretty consistent for the last 2,000 years. But addressing these questions will also help us with more subtle issues, things around the way that we talk to each other about our faith, to other people. And it will help us in watching out that our beliefs don't stray from the truth. So we have this letter from Paul to a slightly ill-defined group of churches in what is now central Turkey, then the Roman province of Galatia. And this letter is going to be incredibly helpful to us, despite it being so many years later and miles away. Well, Paul wastes no time in this letter. There's no waffle. So we're going to dive straight in to some themes this morning that will then get expanded on later on over the coming weeks. And we're going to see that as Paul tries to persuade the Galatians to stick by what he taught them, the original and best, we're going to see three things: that Paul is God's apostle, that this is God's gospel. So, don't turn from God and his gospel. So first, Paul is God's apostle. If you still write letters today, you probably start with a to, and at the end you put a from. But you may well know that letters written back then always started with a from and then the to. So you knew immediately who the letter was coming from. Now, Paul normally, when he's writing, will add a little bit more than just his name. And it's normally slightly different in each letter. And it helps us to think about exactly what he's chosen to say about himself. It's more than just a formality. He's actually starting to teach already. So have a look down at verse 1 of Galatians. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me. Paul had started the churches in Galatia during his missionary journeys. You can read about some of them in the book of Acts. He spent quite a lot of time in the region, converting people to Christianity, establishing churches, getting them going, getting them ready to keep going, teaching them what they needed to know. So they would have known who Paul was. This wasn't a letter from a stranger who needed to introduce himself, prove his credentials. But yet still Paul chooses to expand, to say that he's an apostle, and to say what that means. So he calls himself an apostle. That is someone who is sent, a messenger. And for a messenger, what is important is who sent him, isn't it? That is what is going to define how you receive him. I mean, after all, I imagine that if a royal guard in his bearskin hat turned up at your front door, sent by directly from the queen, you're probably going to want to welcome them in and listen to what they have to say. On the other hand, if there's a door-to-door salesman rings your doorbell, sent by some dodgy company, you're probably all going to want to do the opposite. Paul says that he is sent not from men nor by a man. He's not come from any human authority. Instead, he is sent by Jesus Christ and God the Father. To understand why Paul starts with this, we need a little bit more context from later on in the letter. In chapter 5 and verse 12, Paul refers to some agitators, people who have come after he left and are teaching different things to him. And they pop up a few times during the letter, these agitators. And one of their tactics as they tried to worm their way into the Galatian churches was to try and discredit Paul, the guy who had started them off. They would say that, well, he wasn't one of the 12, the disciples who actually met Jesus, who spent time with it. Paul wasn't one of them. He's not a real apostle. So you don't actually need to listen to what he said. Why does Paul care about that? Well, he's not bothered about his reputation as such. I mean, elsewhere, you know, he does himself down, doesn't he? He calls himself the chief of all sinners. He's not that worried about what people think about him. But for the Galatians, who'd trusted him and what he said when they believed in Jesus, Paul and the gospel are so tightly knit together that if one can't be trusted, then neither can the other. Paul's got to defend himself so that they'll keep on trusting the gospel that he proclaimed. If Paul really is from God, and he's going to go on to say more about exactly how that came about in next week's section, then his teaching is going to hold far more weight than if he was not from God, if he'd made it up himself, or if someone else had sent him. If Paul is God's apostle, the Galatians should trust what he originally taught them and what he writes in this letter. And that goes for us too. When we're not sure what to believe, and when we're not sure what is true, we can come back to Galatians, to the rest of Paul's letters to the Bible. It might be pressure from the world around us that makes us doubt. You can't really believe in someone coming back from the dead, can you? Surely not. Or it might be our experience of life that doesn't match with expectations. I still feel so sinful, so far from God. Is the gospel really true? Have I really been saved? Whatever it is, when we're not sure what to believe, we can come back to what we've been told by God's messengers, because we know that they have come from God. So Paul is God's apostle. He's sent with a message. The question is now, what's the message? So second, this is God's gospel. Excuse me. This is God's gospel. Now, I've been using this word, gospel, which you might know means good news, to refer to effectively the whole of what Paul taught the Galatians, the whole good news about Jesus Christ. And it encompasses so much. But it can also be very simple. As Paul starts this letter to defend himself and his teaching, he gives the Galatians a very short summary of the gospel. It might be surprising what is included and what is left out. Have a look at verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Rescue through sacrifice, Paul says. That's the good news that he's taught them. To understand it, you need to understand the bad news first. Our sins keep us from God, and we have no way of reaching him. That's what it's like in the present evil age. Ever since the fall, we have been in this state of being separated from God and unable to save ourselves. Everything about us and the world is broken. And as hard as we try, we cannot fix it. If you understand that, then the good news is so, so good, that Jesus gave himself for our sins. It's a substitutionary sacrifice. That is, he died in our place. Not to give us a chance to get things right next time, but as a replacement for us, taking the punishment dealt out on him that should have been on us. And once that punishment is dealt out, it can't be repeated. And so we're rescued, saved from the punishment, and able to come to God. Why did God do this? Well, Paul says it's according to the will of our God and Father. He chose to. He didn't do it because we asked or bribed him or made a promise. In fact, we didn't even know that we needed rescuing. It was entirely grace, God's gift to us. Notice how in this short summary, the only mention of us is our sin, how we need rescuing. Otherwise, it's all about God, isn't it? It's Jesus who gave himself, Jesus who rescued us, all according to the Father's will. And that means it's God that gets the glory. If we did anything, then some of the glory would be for us. But we do nothing, and all the glory is God's. Often, I think, when we talk about the gospel, accidentally or on purpose, we make ourselves the central character. And we might say that I found God, I gave my life to Christ. And we do have to accept his gift. But the gospel that Paul proclaims is about him, Jesus, not us. So it's worth thinking about how we talk to others about this gospel. What is it that we include? What is it that we leave out? Where is the focus when we tell people this gospel? It's this that Paul is going to be defending in this letter. It's this that he wants the Galatians to stick with, to not stray from. It's what he taught them originally and what he wants them to stick with. This is God's gospel. And so, thirdly, don't turn from God and his gospel. Normally, at this point in a letter, Paul would give thanks to God. He'd say some nice things about the church and maybe some of the people in it. And it would all be quite cheery. Not Galatians. The reports he's heard of what's happening in these churches are so serious that he gets straight down to business. Have a look at verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ. I'm astonished. See, the Galatians, in listening to these agitators, these people who are preaching something else, they're not just deserting Paul. We've said that he is tightly knit up with the gospel. They're not just deserting Paul. They're not even deserting the gospel. They're deserting God himself, the one who called them. If what they had originally believed really was God's gospel, the message from God of his gift of grace, then changing it in any way is saying that we know better. And it's turning your back on God. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. We'll see later in the letter that the agitators are saying that to be a Christian, you also have to be a Jew and do all of the Jewish stuff of the Old Testament. And if you're a Gentile, which most of the Galatians were, you weren't a Jew. And so you needed to become one in order to be a Christian. But that isn't God's gospel, is it? There was no mention of any of that in Paul's summary. That isn't what God's apostle had taught the Galatians. It's a different gospel, which isn't actually good news at all. It depends on us doing something. See, the gospel plus anything else, whatever it is, equals nothing. We've seen that the gospel is all about Christ's rescue through sacrifice. Adding anything to that, whether it's circumcision or needing to have enough faith or going to church, going to the right church, whatever it is, if we add any of those, it means we're not depending on God alone. And the flip side of that is that the gospel minus anything equals nothing. So if we're not talking about our sin and our need for rescue, because it's a little bit awkward, we don't want to tell people that they're bad people, that's leaving us preaching a different gospel, not God's. Or living out repentance that once saved, we should have a changed life in response to God. Because it's easier not to, isn't it? It's easier not to change. Again, we're preaching a different gospel, which is not good news at all. The gospel plus anything, the gospel minus anything equals nothing. In case you hadn't realized, Paul thinks this is quite a serious issue for the Galatians. Partway through verse 7, evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so I say again. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. See, Paul is so committed to sticking to God and his gospel that he is prepared to condemn even himself if he ever changes what he preaches. And he says, if an angel turns up, those heavenly beings who utterly terrify anyone who meet them. All the occasions in the Bible, the angels have to say, don't be scared. If an angel turns up and preaches a different gospel, you're to ignore him because it's not God's gospel. Paul knows that although he is God's apostle, he was sent directly by God. He doesn't have the authority. That is God's alone, and it's communicated to us in his word. So what Paul says, what an angel might say, what I'm saying, what any of us say, is to be measured by the Bible. Of course, other sources are helpful. That's why we have sermons and all sorts of other ways of helping each other. But whatever we say, we must always go back to the Bible. Make sure that we're not adding or taking away from the gospel, that we're sticking to the original and best. I guess it would be quite obvious today if someone came to St. Mary's and started persuading people that you needed to be circumcised and do ritual washing and so on in order to be saved. We'd probably spot them a mile off, wouldn't we? But that doesn't mean that we're immune from the danger that the Galatians were facing. Any time that we insist on something for someone to be a part of the church that isn't believe in your heart and confess with your lips, then we're adding to the gospel. Could be how we act as well as what we say. So if everyone at the front of a service looks the same and has had the same experiences, then we imply that you have to be part of that group to be a real Christian. If we spend all our time in our small groups or after church talking about an amazing spiritual experience we had at a festival, or some really deep theological book that we've read. And we never talk about the gospel. Then we start to think and imply to others that we need those things as well as the gospel. That Jesus himself isn't enough. That we need more to be a Christian. So, as we start to look at this letter of the Galatians together, remember these things, that Paul is God's apostle, that we trust what he says, we trust the Bible as a message from God. Remember that this is God's gospel, rescue through sacrifice. And remember, don't turn from God and his gospel. We shouldn't be adding anything from the gospel or taking it away, because that leaves us with nothing. So think about how we talk to each other. Think about those areas that other things are creeping in, where we're relying on something other than Jesus. And come back to God's gospel given to us by his apostle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us everything we need to be saved. We thank you for your grace in sending Jesus to rescue us through his sacrifice, for sending the apostles and your word to tell us about it. Help us to trust it. Help us to spot where we might be starting to stray. And help us to come back always to your gospel, the only one that is true and that saves. In Jesus' name, amen.